Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever found yourself just a little envious of some famous person in the world? When you look a little closer at the cameras and media following them constantly, their adoring fans always seeking an autograph or a photo op, or the security detail around them keeping people at a distance, does that give you pause to reconsider all that comes with being famous? Over the last 3 days, you and I have witnessed one of the most amazing events in all human history. Oh, there were no photographers, no security detail, no TV cameras, but one man who was there, by the name of John, gave us a detailed report of what he saw, and it's recorded in the 11th chapter of the book he wrote about the life and times of Jesus. John, you see, was a very good friend of Jesus, perhaps his best friend, and a faithful disciple during the months and years of Jesus' remarkable, miraculous life mission in Israel. Long after Jesus was gone, John was still talking and writing about what he had experienced with Jesus. As we saw yesterday, while many of the people who witnessed the miraculous resurrection of Lazarus, who by the way had been dead almost a week, celebrated, a few others had gone to tell the religious authorities about it, and they decided Jesus needed to be stopped permanently. So, John gives us this summary statement. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. John 11. Oh, the disciples had so many questions for Jesus, and Jesus had so much more he wanted to explain to them about God, the type of relationship he had with God, which he wanted them to also have with God, and a great many things about the future. Over these next few days in Ephraim, I imagine Jesus answered dozens, maybe hundreds of their questions. They'd seen so many miracles, but none more shocking than Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. They heard Jesus give many speeches to large crowds of people and even in small gatherings of people in homes. These Jewish disciples, like all good Jews, knew the season of the great annual Passover festival was approaching. And like each year, they wondered what plan Jesus had in his mind. Perhaps this Passover, it might be wise to spend it in a quiet, secluded place, away from those wanting to harm Jesus. In fact, John gives us a little insight into their buzz around that part of Israel as Passover season approached. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the countryside to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, "So what do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all?" But the chief priests and Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, they should report it so that they might arrest Jesus. John 11. What should Jesus do? For Jesus and his disciples, there was only one place to be during Passover, Jerusalem, the great Jewish temple. For some of the disciples, however, they'd prefer to be far away from the crowds, at least this year. For others, like Simon the Zealot, oh yes, bring on the crowds, especially those looking for a fight with Jesus. In fact, the other disciple named Simon, Simon Peter, may have been a bit like that as well. Oh, how difficult it is to meet the expectations of people when those expectations differ so widely. So what should Jesus do about Passover? Hide or step forward into the crowds and take his chances with public opinion? Finally, Jesus broke the speculation as he privately told his disciples his plan. We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. Luke 18. I suspect Jesus paused right there and let these good Jewish men think about that. What could they remember from their younger days of synagogue schooling with their rabbis? What was written about the Messiah that might fit now with Jesus in this Passover? No one said anything. They looked at each other and perhaps tried to jog each other's memories with some recollection of the prophets, but no one really had any clear, specific ideas, and I doubt anyone made any mention of Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Isaiah 53. Look, Jesus is continuing to say something to his disciples. Let's eavesdrop. His words are shocking as he describes what he knows will soon happen to him, Jesus, the Messiah. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. Luke 18, verse 32 and 33. These disciples of Jesus are his friends. They've been together almost 3 years. While they do not yet understand everything about Jesus, one thing they know, his power is unlimited. Thus, what Jesus has just described might apply to an out-of-control angry mob assaulting a convicted criminal, but it could not possibly apply to Jesus, could it? Why? What would have to happen to turn Jerusalem against this Jesus, who has healed and helped so many people and spoken more words of God's hope than any orator for centuries? Jesus didn't let his disciples linger too long in their confusion, but what he said next confused them even more. On the third day, he will rise again. They had witnessed what Jesus did with Lazarus, who had been dead almost a week. Now, Jesus was declaring that he would be killed by angry people in Jerusalem, but on the third day, after his death, he too would rise up from the dead and be alive again. It made no sense to the disciples at all. Each of them was facing a crisis of belief. Was it time to abandon Jesus? If what he had described was actually going to happen, then wouldn't each of them be in terrifying danger of the same thing happening to them if they were with him? The words Jesus used to describe his forthcoming torture are exactly what is happening in dungeons around the world today, as more than 400 Jews and Christians are being killed daily through violence only because of their religious beliefs and spiritual pursuits. And did you know, my friends, that as we approach Easter and Passover 2024, global anti-Semitism and hatred towards Christians will incrementally increase by the day? Let's pause right here and consider this horrific truth. This year, global persecution of Jews and Christians is higher than it has been in centuries. What do you sense the Spirit of God saying to you about this reality, my friends? Tomorrow, we'll join Jesus and his disciples as they intentionally begin their pilgrimage towards Jerusalem and what Jesus described was awaiting him. Years later, this song has given the persecuted great strength in their suffering. Listen to it carefully.